This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm.
Welcome to Follow the Sound. I am your host, Brian Kroc, and we got something really, really great tonight. But I also have my co-host with me, Greg. How you doing, buddy?
Hi, Brian. I'm fine. How are you?
And also in the room, we have a couple of other special guests. Let's go with Bree first.
Hi. Bree.
Hi.
Hi. How you doing?
I'm doing quite well. How about yourself?
I'm so excited to be here. I drove 2.5 hours just to come be on your show.
Yes. So Bree is Greg's girlfriend, and she is down here. I'm assuming you guys had a nice Valentine's Day and whatnot since that happened the day before.
I actually just got here, so we're going to have Valentine later.
That'll happen later. Great. You gotta step up your game now.
We've got plans. We're going to do something tomorrow.
And then, of course, I've got my other really, really good friend here, Jacob Crum. Jake, how you doing?
Good enough. How are you?
I'm doing fan-freaking-tastic right now.
I do prefer the term adequate guest and not special guest, so if you can get that in post.
Okay, good. Adequate guest.
Yes.
So tonight, we are doing something that I truly love to do, and we are going to comment on the 59th Annual Grammy Awards.
Yay!
Anybody know what year the Grammy started?
1959.
So it was 59... doing the 59th Annual Grammy Awards.
False. Jake didn't buzz in first.
That's true, but I also told him before we started, so therefore he cheated. But let's do a little bit of history. Greg, we're going to do a little history, because that's what we've been doing for the last few weeks, and people seem to really, really enjoy it. For some weird reason, people like music history. So the very first Grammy Awards, do you know anybody who won?
Not off the top of my head.
You know what the album of the year was? No?
For 59?
For 1959.
But the album was from 58.
It was a soundtrack, actually. That's the best part for me.
Soundtrack.
It was a soundtrack.
The Sound of Music?
That's
no.
What I was thinking too,
album of the year was Henry Mancini's The Music from Peter Gunn.
Oh, hey.
Good for Henry Mancini.
There you go. Album of the year for The Music from Peter Gunn. But you also had, you had a bunch of other ones, like songs from Volare won, which I thought was really kind of wild. But the best part of the entire thing is that a song from a TV show won 3 Grammys that year.
What song was it?
It was the Chipmunk song. The Christmas Time is
right.
Near, which was written by Ross Bagdasarian, who is a famous Armenian. And if you talk to any Armenians, they know about this dude. I know because I work with a couple of Armenians, and they're all like, oh, of course, Chipmunks, Alvin and Chipmunks, made by an Armenian. Everybody knows that. I was like, I didn't, but okay. So they won for a comedy album. They won for children's album, and the engineer who produced it also won for best non-classical engineer.
Somebody said, I can't believe he pitched the voices up that high. What an engineer.
That was amazing.
Wow.
So, yes, it just cracks me up that a kid show won 3 Grammys.
See, I can't say I'm too surprised, because I think in 58, 59, a lot of people got that exposure from television. I think that maybe that's helped a lot with the popularity.
Yeah, but they also had like best album cover went to Frank Sinatra, which was the only one that he actually won for that year. The musical that did actually make it for best Broadway recording and stuff like that was Music Man.
Wow.
And pop. Best vocal performance for a female was Ella Fitzgerald. Mm. Best vocal for male was Perry Como. Perry Como. Best performance for a group was Keeley Smith and Louis Prima for That Old Black Magic. That Old Black Magic. Oh, yeah. And, best performance by a dance band was Count Basie.
Oh, well, you go, Count Basie.
You can't.
Well deserved.
Yes, very much so. Well, well after the fact. But here's one that I thought was truly hilarious. They had R&B, best rhythm and blues performance. Anybody? Tequila. By the Champs.
Oh, nice.
R&B, huh?
Yes. Cracks me up. So there you go. That's the history we got for good old 1959 First Annual Grammy Awards. Good stuff, huh? Mm-hmm.
I think so.
So we're going to get on to the current 2017 Grammy Awards. Did you guys enjoy it?
Oh, yeah.
I'd take that as a no.
Definitely enjoy
Jake,
it.
Jake, give me your honest reaction. So just overall impressions.
Overall impressions. Well, first off, there were two different Grammy shows. The premiere show.
Yes.
The pre-show.
I didn't actually watch the pre-show.
It had a total of two viewers, me and the engineer that was mixing it. it was hosted by Margaret Cho, who looked like she borrowed hair from Cinderella and put it on a porcelain doll and then dipped it in pure pearlescence.
Wow.
But I like Margaret Cho. She's great. Mm-hmm. It was good to see her.
She hasn't shown up in much.
No, but, not recently. But not she was recently. Nominated this year.
She had
a comedy album nominated this year.
Yeah, and I know who won, but we'll get to that, later. But
I wouldn't call it enjoy. I wouldn't say I enjoyed it.
Yeah, well, I know I kind of forced you to because I told you, like, hey, we're going to do a Grammy show. Okay, I guess I'll watch this crap. But I roughly know Jake's music taste, and he generally goes for the more obscure things. And just hitting the mic with his hat. Look at that. But he generally will stick to things that definitely aren't mainstream. And so I thought that it would be really funny to make him watch it. So that way he then was forced to view pop culture at its finest. So you didn't really enjoy it.
No, I can't say I did. The hangover didn't help.
So, Bree.
I have an issue with the Grammys as much as I have an issue with the Oscars because it's just so trite and contrived, and it's not ever what we as a public end up expecting, I think.
So you'd prefer more like a People's Choice kind of award.
I'm more on that spectrum, end of the spectrum on
than, it, I think. Than like an Academy of Recording Artists or something like that.
Yeah, because I think that was displayed particularly this year's Grammys too, which we'll get into, but it just always seems to be more of a whose album made the most money, whose face was on more billboards this year, as opposed to who is the artist that deserves the award. And so
I do know a little bit about the process at which they pick things. And part of it is that they, especially for like album of the year, it has to generally have sold well,
mm-hmm.
and it has to be critically acclaimed.
Mm-hmm.
Like those are the two things. And so the fact that you could have an album that sells really well, but the critics just hated it, although that's generally not going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Or you could have a massive critically acclaimed album that didn't sell well at all. Mm-hmm. And actually, one of the groups that was nominated for, I think, Best Rock Album, like really falls squarely into that category. But we'll get to them later. So my general impression of it was that I wasn't really impressed with it. I've been impressed by previous ones that they did. I was telling my wife and I was talking to Jake about it too, that I mean, years ago I would watch it to try and find new artists that I wanted to like. I didn't get any of that this year.
Well, I think a lot of thing that's missing too is that you think about previous Grammys and they always have such standout performances. You remember mm-hmm. Madonna, you know, her famous Virgin.
And I was telling him for me though, a few years ago it was Mumford and Sons doing Lion Man. Because
mm-hmm.
nobody knew who those people were. It's like, and then all of a sudden they get there on stage and just like slayed it with acoustic instruments and just raw power.
Mm-hmm.
And the same thing with like the Civil Wars. I had no idea who the Civil Wars were. And they got up there and they played for a minute and a half. They did like intro, verse, chorus, intro, and then we're done. And then they announced like who the next winner was. And that was it. But that minute and a half of that band singing floored me.
It's kind of funny with the Civil War that actually was on a cruise that singer-songwriters performed on. It was like a music festival on water. And the Civil Wars performed, and I was at their show, and it was beautiful and intimate, and watching them perform was so amazing. And then we had to dock the boat so they could get off and go to the Grammys.
Oh, nice.
So we were all, as a group, kind of sitting around watching the Grammys on this giant screen, you know, kind of cheering for them because we'd just seen them perform, and some people had gotten to meet them, and it was really neat. And I'm with you there. We do see so many underrated artists that do get to perform there, so that's definitely something I look forward to every year.
Yeah, so I didn't have any of that this year. I didn't have one artist that I latched onto and was like, all right, I need to check out that album or I need to listen to more of that. But you know, I wasn't impressed at all. It was a lackluster year. Now, I will give James Corden his due, because dude actually did pretty darn well for hosting, as far as I'm concerned. But he's a funny guy, and I've always enjoyed him because he is a person who truly loves music. And that is very evident in what he does and how he puts on his show and how he does the carpool karaoke and stuff like that. He does love the pop music a lot, but at the same time, he really just loves music in general. And he was in one of my favorite musicals, which was Begin Again. So
I didn't know he was in that.
Yeah.
Can I just say that as a whole, and especially because keeping tabs on the pop charts for the last year, it wasn't really an outstanding year for music in general.
Yeah.
I mean, there wasn't really anything.
There was a lot
huge.
Of slow music, too. Mm-hmm. There was just a lot of slow pop songs. I don't get it.
We
I don't know what happened.
We were sad in 2016. Can you imagine the kind of beautiful political amazingness we're going to have next year at the Grammy Awards?
Hopefully
from people having all of this
angry
fire.
Angry and, you know, just like, yeah, we're going to be pissed off.
Well,
down with Trump.
Some of our fellow radio people have really been roasting Chainsmokers and Closer. And I think that kind of sums up.
Or I'm going to tell you, I hate that song.
Yeah, well, see, and there you go, is that it kind of sums up how a lot of people felt, where the best song was Closer by Chainsmokers, and it was a very kind of mellow, laid-back song. It didn't have an outstanding beat. It wasn't
You know what
special.
Actually pisses me off the most about that song? It's the fact that they say we ain't ever getting older instead of getting.
Getting.
I was like, really? Just say getting.
You're going to hate.
It's not that hard to do. Getting.
You're going to hate.
We ain't ever getting older. Say it with me now.
Brian, you're going to hate like 90% of rappers if that's your attitude.
Yeah, I know. Especially
Mark
mumble
Twain.
Rappers.
And Mark Twain.
Yeah, you don't mind when Samuel Clemens does
oh
it, right? It's
God.
Colloquialism then. It's cute. But,
you know.
I think a lot of things, too, with the Chainsmokers is that it's just two dudes who are college bros that ended up, like, we know
who
how to
make
a beat
on a computer. Musicians at best.
When you nominate people for Grammys, it's like you want them to be this beautiful, talented artistry that they can create and bring to the music business. And somebody like the Chainsmokers is like, I learned how to use a computer program.
That's
and
true.
Beat booped, and here I am at the Grammys.
The Chainsmokers learned how to produce music by watching YouTube tutorials.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then they turned around and put out these songs. And now they're like the biggest artist of 2017. But you turn around, you're like, America's best right here. And they learned it from watching a YouTube video of someone else doing the same thing.
And that's what I was getting at with the whole thing about it being trite and contrived, is because we nominated these two dude bros that learned how to operate a, you know,
a Casio
or something. You know?
Well, oh, man, it makes me think of Drake's Hotline Bling. Where the song sounds like somebody pressed.
You know,
it sounds like from Wii, like the Wii shop.
Somebody's got a keyboard in front of them with the little built-in beats, mm-hmm. and they press like this one, and just boop, beep, beep, boop, beep, boop. And then he just starts rapping over it.
It's like somebody played it with a guitar.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's pretty bad as far as that. Just sheer lack of musicianship in some of those groups, mainly the Chainsmokers, but there are a couple of other ones that popped up in there too. But you know, it's just funny.
We're gonna try and at least I'm gonna try and stay on the bright side.
I'm not,
for this episode here.
I'm going straight darkness.
Okay, so where should we kick this off?
Okay, so we're gonna get to the awards. We're gonna do some stuff, but let's do performances first.
Okay,
so. Was there a performance that you actually really enjoyed? Greg!
Well, first off, Metallica was at the Grammys. I don't care what they did.
You want to hear my impression of the first, you know, 40 seconds of that song? There you go! Thank you. Thank you.
Yay!
Sorry, a sound man got fired that night.
But with that being said,
good old James Mike was turned off for the first bit. But actually, I gotta go before that because Laverne Cox done screwed up. So Laverne Cox, of course, the famous transgendered woman who was on Orange is the New Black and is now on a bunch of other stuff too. Totally just introduced Lady Gaga and didn't introduce Metallica.
Well, maybe wasn't that supposed to be kind of more of a surprise, though?
No, Because the entire time they kept saying, Lady Gaga with Metallica, Lady Gaga with Metallica. And then all of a sudden they get up there and Laverne Cox is just like, you know, blah, 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 the greatest ever, Lady Gaga. And then it's like,
yeah, they were actually calling it Gaga-talica.
Which was really funny because when they finally actually did get the mics worked out and stuff like that, I actually thought it was a pretty good performance because Lady Gaga can sing rock when she wants to. She doesn't just do the techno pop dance stuff. Jake.
And more than that, I actually bought that she wanted to do it because a lot of these like group duo things, people yeah. push collaborations because the studios want to get crossover audience and everything, and they just never look like they want to be there. And she actually looked like she was enjoying it more than anyone watching.
I had a feeling she actually owned that Metallica shirt.
Yeah, I bet she did. See, mm-hmm. that's one of those things you got to give Lady Gaga some credit on.
Yeah.
Is that she's done a lot of collaborations, but they've all...
I've never faulted her for her musicianship and her songwriting ability. I've just never really cared for the pop music that she actually writes. It just doesn't impact me. It's not that it's bad. It's just that it doesn't affect me. It doesn't move me.
You know that Lady Gaga listens to like Metallica and stuff. She does.
Oh, for a second I thought you were going to say she listens to us. And I was like, no.
You know Lady Gaga's listening right now.
Good Lord, no. I mean, I don't think that's going to happen ever. Brie, what did you like?
As far as performances go, I honestly have to give it up to Adele because...
For which one?
For her George Michael tribute because
the one she botched first and then corrected it?
Well, the thing is that she had a problem with her... She had a technical issue at Grammys 2016, too, that mm-hmm. prevented her from being able to hear herself. And yeah. she ended up being off key and everybody gave her crap about it. And it was awful for her.
Well, I remember when it actually... When she first started singing it and it was off key. And I was thinking like, it was like, why are they doing this in like a weird dissonance?
That's what I said
and
to
then,
him.
And then I was like, this... And then when it got to the chorus part, I was like, wait, she's singing off key. I was like, this mm-hmm. isn't supposed to happen.
And yeah,
and then she stopped it and I was like, all right, let's, you know, redo this. Why not? I mean, George Michael deserves a decent tribute. So,
well, that's exactly what I said to him too. When they started, I said, she's off. She's like a key minor. What is yeah. she, what's going on here?
And I thought that that's just the way that they were doing the song at first. And then had she been able to correct it herself and just like go for it? Like, I'm sure it would have been really cool, mm-hmm. but the fact that, like, it didn't go that way and then she had to stop and start over again. But when she actually did get it going, I thought it was a fantastic performance.
And you got to give her the credit for being a strong enough person to be like, you know what, I know this is live, but I want to do my best. He deserves my best. I'm not repeating what I did last year. Sorry, everybody. Let's start over.
Oh, yeah.
Because a lot
yeah.
of people would have just gone through it. And
I would have done the same thing.
Railroaded yeah. on the press and just gone with it. But she was like, you know what, he doesn't deserve this. Can we just start over? And I have a lot of respect for her
yeah.
for doing that.
Yeah.
If she had kept going, I don't think anyone would have second-guessed her, though.
I don't know. They
she when she was off key
year.
For the chorus and stuff, yeah. it would have been
well. Okay,
that was when it went really bad.
It was hard to come
like
back.
Up to that point, it was like, oh, you could pass it off as being artistic, mm-hmm. but then when she got to the chorus part, it was just no. She's singing off key. Mm-hmm. What was a performance you liked, Jake?
I'm gonna have to go with Katy Perry. Honestly.
Oh, with her it was a new song, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm actually
yeah.
blanking on what the name of it was, but. It was a weird performance, though, wasn't it? It was because she was standing on the thing, and like it was the rotating sort of house
yeah.
with the fence. And
that right there would sell a ticket to me if I went to stadium concerts.
And who's the reggae artist that she...
It was
a Marley. That's all I remember.
Yeah, that was Katy Perry with Skip Marley.
Skip Marley, yeah. I was thinking Ziggy, but it's
Ziggy
not.
Too.
Yeah, but
the
it was Skip Marley, yeah.
The song was called Chained to the Rhythm.
Mm-hmm. There you go, yeah.
Yeah, that's right, because I remember her singing that line a bunch of times.
But. And from the ground up, that whole performance, I think in live shows, a lot of times people tend to forget and negate the role of lighting in a live concert. And just, I always look at a lot of things and I go, like, why don't more people wear white or just have more white on stage? And just the simplicity of it with the reveal of people behind the fence line with the mirrors and everything, I was floored by it.
Well, I thought that was really good, actually.
Just wearing white looks great, too, when you do have a lot of lights and stuff, because it's almost like your outfit will be changing colors with the
yeah.
performance.
Yeah, you become part
that.
Of the medium mm-hmm. At that point.
Mm-hmm.
Two other really hey. Cool performances.
I didn't get to say my favorite.
And let's ask Brian.
I wanted to do my favorite.
This is his show.
Oh.
It's our show right now, but thank you. Thank you. That makes me feel better. No, so I had actually two different choices that I did. One for just pure musicality and then one for fun. So the one that I picked for musicality was actually Ed Sheeran. My wife absolutely despises Ed Sheeran, but I thought his performance was fantastic because he did everything himself. He did the little strum part, he did the beat part, he did the background vocal part, and then he sang the song and like kept going back to it. A little bit too dance poppy for my actual taste in music, but I mean, that was just cool to see. To see one man still do like a full band just by himself, that's impressive. For fun, though, my favorite performance, hands down, really the entire tribute, but it had to be the tribute to Prince with Morris Day and the Time.
Oh, the Time performed. Oh, we, so oh, we, oh. I wonder how many people knew who the Time were.
All the old school people knew.
Well, like you would know, and I would know, but I just wonder how many people, you know, say mine our age would know who the Time are.
My jungle love.
It makes me think of what.
But even then, after that, because, you know, there was the whole Prince tribute thing. They came out there, they did Jungle Love, and then they did another Prince song. Then Bruno Mars came out there, like, playing one of Prince's guitars, like, dressed in the purple with the white cravat and all of that. And, like, just, he really did a great job. If he wanted to do just, like, straight Prince impressions, he could very easily do so and make a crap ton of money.
He was a great choice for that, absolutely. He's a very
I liked that.
Singer.
I liked that performance way more than I liked his actual performance of the single that he did.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just as
that's
Bruno
what
Mars.
I like, yeah.
But I actually really, really enjoyed that one. But also one performance that I thought was really, really fantastic. It was like, you know, number two down on my list. But it was William Bell and Gary Clark Jr. doing Born Under a Bad Sign. That was just fantastic.
Well, I think it's cool because with the Grammys, it's a showcase of what's supposed to be the best music of the year. So, I mean, all the performances, really, even if it's not your kind of music, you can have appreciation for it in the moment.
Yeah.
You know, everybody coming together. Because, I mean, Little Big Town was there. You said William Bell.
Yeah, they did stuff with the BG tribute, which was very interesting to see. And Barry Gibb was down there in front with his wife, I believe, and was singing along with them. That was a pretty good one. What, Demi Lovato as well singing it?
With?
The Bee Gees tribute.
With the Bee Gees tribute?
I don't fully remember.
Demi Lovato, Tori Kelly, Little Big Town, and Andra Day.
Yeah.
Or Andra Day, I'm sorry.
Andra Day, yeah. So, we did best performance. Now we're going to do worst performance.
Ooh.
Anybody want to start? Jake!
Oh boy, Bruno Mars doing Prince.
Wow.
The best part of David Bowie dying when he did was that people stopped talking about Prince for about a month. For me, I just
not a Prince lover.
I'm not. I'm sorry. No, you know what? No, I'm not sorry. Just don't like it.
Yeah, well, all right. I'll give you that much. Okay, Brie.
I don't know. I can't pick a worse. I don't know. I'm not gonna say Beyonce had a. Beyonce didn't have a worst performance for me, but I just was like, come. I love Beyonce. I'm in the beehive. But I just was like, she looks like a Snapchat filter, and she's just, I don't know. I love her. But I don't want to say anything bad, Bea, I love you. But I just felt like, does she need to be here performing at every awards ceremony? We know who Beyonce is. We know what she sounds like. We know she can put on a good show. And there are so many other artists that could have been in that spotlight, and it's not, I wouldn't call her performance the worst, but because I love her, but I just felt like there are other artists that could have had that spot.
I'm gonna say it. I hated it. I hated her performance.
She looked like a Snapchat filter.
I thought it was just so, like you said, like it was contrived. It was rather ridiculous in my opinion. And she just came out there and like barely saying anything for most of it. Here's I'm gonna tell you the exact truth on how this played out. I was sitting there, and I was on my laptop, and I was watching the Grammys, you know, and I'm just watching her do her thing, and it gets to that point, and she's in the chair, and she starts to tilt back, and I'm watching for like another 30 seconds, and then I stopped to look for a rug, because that was more interesting to me. I literally got on Google and started searching for a rug for my new apartment that I'm going to be moving into. And yes,
I
totally didn't pay attention to the rest of the performance because that's how boring it was to me.
I was distracted by her Legends of the Hidden Temple outfit. But
I was like, wow, she's really trying to look like Mary, isn't she? Like Mary, pregnant with twins. It just, everything about it to me was just so over the top and of just like, I'm trying to be super artistic. And I was like, no, just go out there and sing. That's all you have to do. When you have an incredible voice like hers, you don't try and hide it with a gimmick. Mm-hmm. You just get out there and you frickin' sing a song. That's all she had to do.
She would have been an excellent choice for one of the tributes, but I think that because she's Beyoncé, they were like, well, she has to have her own. It has to be about Beyoncé. She would have been an excellent
part
of that.
Which she had at the last Grammys, too. Mm-hmm. For the exact same album.
Mm-hmm. You know, not even my personal opinion, but just something I noticed on social media a lot was people saying, you know, I could have done with about half of Beyonce's performance. That was kind of what I saw from a lot of people, where they were saying,
I could have done with less Beyonce, and I could have done away with Adele singing Hello at the very beginning. Because, I mean, that should have done something else. It should have been a bigger collaboration. It should have been like a few acts together instead of just her singing Hello and then Corden coming on.
If like everybody on this list of performers had all been on stage for that first song, maybe, or something along those lines, that would have been really cool. Or a cool crossover would have been sweet. So like Adele was there, but so was The Weeknd and Daft Punk. It would have been cool if The Weeknd, Daft Punk, and Adele all were doing something.
Yeah, that would have been interesting to see, at least. You know, I'm not like the biggest Weeknd fan, not the biggest Daft Punk fans, but I mean, I'll give them credit for what they do.
Well, for example, like to put it in perspective, the Super Bowl, right? The halftime show, and you get to that point where there's like three different artists. Like I remember when Coldplay did the Super Bowl, and by the end of it, it was like Coldplay was playing, Bruno Mars and Beyonce were out there as well, and they were all singing the same song together. And it was like, okay, you got all of Coldplay, Beyonce, Bruno Mars, and that was great. Mm-hmm. They were killing it. But it was one of those where you didn't expect the other two there. Mm-hmm. But because they were there, that's what made it really memorable, and that's what made it more exciting for a broader audience.
Some of the collaborations that have gone on in Grammys of the past have been some of the best and most exciting events that they've done. I remember when it was Imagine Dragons teamed up with, I don't remember the name of the rapper, but they teamed up. It wasn't that long ago. No, it was like 2 or 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And they did Radioactive, but the rapper like came in with this really great bridge and everything, and they just went crazy. And then like they shot this paint everywhere.
It was Kendrick Lamar.
Kendrick Lamar. That's right. And like, that was just brilliant. That was honestly one of the greatest Grammy performances I've ever seen in my life. And so they didn't have anything like that. They could have, but they just did not. I guess they were trying to shoot for the Metallica Gaga thing being something big. But
did you guys like the Sturgill Simpson performance?
Sturgill?
Sturgill?
Sturgill.
Yeah, it's Sturgill. Actually, no. I thought it was cool for what it was, but his voice couldn't match the power of the band behind him, and that's what threw me.
I don't even know his name.
It's a very Muscle Shoals name, Sturgill Simpson.
Oh, he's a country boy.
Mm-hmm.
But Jake, did you like his performance?
I didn't know who he was heading into this, and I'm not sure that I do now. It wasn't interesting.
Nominated for album of the year.
I don't really actually. It just wasn't interesting enough for me to like run onto Facebook and go or YouTube and try and find more of his music.
Yeah. All right.
I was much more interested in the children's album than I was Sturgill.
All right. So I got a couple of other questions here. Were there any categories that were nominated that you felt an artist was robbed from that Grammy win?
Best children's album. I'm going to say it.
Go for it.
I really do mean it. There's a woman by the name of Frances England who was nominated. Mm-hmm. She has a total of 753 YouTube followers right now.
Awesome.
And the fact that she was there, paid her own way to come and show up, and also that her music is palatable to adult audiences and not just something you can entertain a four-year-old with because it has rhythm. So anyone who's listening to this,
look at that. He was legit serious.
Pause this right now and go listen to Daddy O.
Daddy O.
It's an amazing little ditty. It's about 3 minutes long. Verse, chorus, hook, chorus. It's great.
How about for album of the year, the fact that 21 Pilots wasn't even nominated?
Yeah, I think see that.
I think they should have been.
Out and I mean, Blurry Face was just an amazing album anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, I reviewed Vessel on this show, which was the previous album that they did, and I would like to do Blurry Face, but I was going to sort of give it some time, you know, after because everybody's been listening to it. And like Stressed Out has been everywhere. It's been on alternative stations, pop stations, and other rock stations. And it's just all over the place. Even on hip-hop stations, they were even playing it, which was just cracking me up.
And, you know, that album didn't necessarily have to win Album of the Year, but I do think it should have been a nomination.
Yeah, so they were nominated for what, Best Rock Album or Best Alternative Album?
They won Best Pop Duo Performance.
And they won Best Pop Duo Performance. They were nominated for like four, but they won one I know of, which actually I thought was really one of the coolest moments of the night. Just because, you know, they announced their win for Best Pop Duo, and they immediately stand up, and Tyler's there next to his wife, and then they immediately proceed to take their pants off and then walk up on stage.
Oh, yeah.
And then everybody's like, wait a second, what in the world are these two weirdos doing in their underwear? And Tyler then proceeds to explain this story about how many years ago, before they were anybody, before they had a following of any kind and you know, weren't making any money doing music, called Josh up and said, hey, do you want to come over to my rental house and watch the Grammys? And so he came over and they started watching, and all of a sudden Josh realized that they were all in their underwear watching the Grammys. And he said, if we ever actually get nominated and win a Grammy, we should do it exactly like this in our underwear. And that's what they did. And then Tyler then, of course, gave like the nice inspirational bit of, he's like, you know, we're proof that you can be the next ones up here because we came from nowhere and now we're here. Okay. It's like that's just incredible because they really worked hard to get to where they are.
I've got another one.
All right.
Now she did get nominated a couple of times, but Sia.
That's what I was just gonna say. That was my answer.
Sia didn't win anything, or did
she? Sia got nominated for Best Pop Vocal Album. But she didn't win.
She's got Best Pop Duo Group Performance. She had Cheap Thrills with Sia and Sean Paul.
Yeah.
And then, which, I mean, you could get rid of Sean Paul. But then, yeah, Best Pop Vocal Album as well, This Is Acting, which she didn't win. But, I mean, Sia.
She should have. And honestly, with Adele having one Album of the Year, like, you don't need to win Pop Album of the Year and Album of the Year. And Sia's such a talented songwriter who's been around for way longer than I think anybody knows.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that album had a ton of hits on it, too.
And I mean, even if you can gauge it by hits, but even if you just, the album as a whole is one you can listen from beginning to end and feel, and all of her albums are like that. You feel what she was feeling in the entire, the whole complexity of the album was just unreal. And I get that Adele's very, very talented as a singer, but I do feel like Sia got robbed.
It's
on that
safe
one.
To say that Sia is still underrated.
Yeah, oh,
the only one that I had that I felt was kind of robbed, of which I can't fault the Grammys for not giving it to this band, was the band Highly Suspect.
Oh, they're so good.
See, you actually know who they are. A lot of people don't know.
Lydia was a great song, and that got me into them.
A lot of people have no idea who the band is, and they've been nominated for 3 Grammys.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, you probably don't know this, though. They were in St. Louis the night they got nominated for the 2 Grammys. And so I saw them in concert that night, and when they introduced them, they walked out and they're like, as of 4 hours ago, Grammy nominated, Highly Suspect.
Oh, good for
it's like,
them.
And they came out. We ended up getting to chat with them afterwards a little bit too. And they were very cool. They don't really care about anything, which is really funny. So they don't care about the fame necessarily. They don't really care about the Grammys either way. But they were like, okay, we'll show up and, you know, why not? So they actually were there and they were sitting there, you know, when they announced who the nominees were. And, David Bowie actually won. And so I can't fault them for giving it to David Bowie, but I can fault them a little bit because it's like he'd already won like several other Grammys at that night. And it's like, okay, you know, you could have given this to somebody else, you know, like another artist that could possibly be very ecstatic that they got this. You could help their career more by giving them a Grammy Award than giving David Bowie a Grammy.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, Highly Suspect. The best thing about it, though, is that when they announced David Bowie, Highly Suspect, of all the people they were showing on the camera, were the only ones that actually stood up and applauded when David Bowie won.
Wow.
And later on, they even tweeted out saying, it's like, you know, lost Grammy number 3 to David Bowie. This is the greatest honor of my life. Humbled.
No complaints there.
Like, I was like, all right, dude. It's like, you can't, like I said, you can't fault him, but at the same time, Highly Suspect is hands down one of the best rock bands mm-hmm. in the world of music today. And people just have no clue who they are.
They're like, they're Kings of Leon without the depression.
No, man, I'd say it's even... They've got to be way worse on the depression scale because they just treat it with a lot of drugs and alcohol.
Well, it's they do. I don't know.
When you've got a song called Bath Salts, it's like, you know, and he wrote that because he almost died doing bath salts.
Okay, maybe I get less depressed listening to Highly Suspect than I do listening to Kings of Leon.
That's true. Yeah. So, but the Boy Who Died Wolf is their latest album. We'll probably review it on the show.
Very good.
My wife is a huge, huge fan of theirs. I think she's seen them like two or three times this year, which will be great. And we drove up to Peoria to see them once too, which was just kind of crazy. But yeah, Highly Suspect, I thought needed to get at least one Grammy win. So, but somebody at the Grammys loves them. Because they've been nominated three times now and have like 20-something thousand followers on Twitter.
Oh, good for them.
Like, compared to like, you know, some of the other major pop acts who have millions of followers. It's like, just cracks me up.
At least just getting nominated.
Yeah, yeah, helps. No. It's definitely been helping them. And I'm sure they'll release another album because they're constantly touring. It's not like they've got anything else tying them down. So that's what they keep doing.
Did you say you went to that show at the Limelight in Peoria? Was that the one?
Yes.
Highly Suspect, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, because
you going to tell me you were there too?
I wasn't.
Oh,
I wasn't.
That would have been
there.
Awesome.
No, but that
would have been like a weird sort of convergence for the two of us.
Well,
then you'd have been like, I was sitting in the back next to this weird dude. It's like just sitting there because there were no chairs anywhere.
Tall guy in front of me
just kept blocking
everything because he's literally double my height.
The funny thing though is that actually at that show, Highly Suspect was the only band I liked there. The other two bands just sucked and I hated them.
That was actually my experience at the Limelight. Was there was somebody who was like double my height standing.
Well,
I would never do that because I am a very considerate tall person.
Thank you.
I don't like to block people.
Leading
at
up to that show at the Limelight, they were running commercials like crazy that were just. It was kind of like, look, we know that you don't know who they are. So the commercial was like, Grammy nominated, yeah. Highly Suspect. And then it'd play a little clip.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, but
That was kind of cool. So the next question I had on here, though, was there one award that you actually thought like, absolutely, this person totally deserved this win?
Yes.
Who you got?
Best Rap Performance.
Chance
the Rapper
Chance
featuring
the Rapper.
Lil Wayne and 2 Chainz, the song No Problem, and I love it because that song has been on repeat in my vehicle for weeks.
And
also Chance the Rapper winning Best New Artist,
mm-hmm.
which was great too, because I honestly believe that he had one of the most powerful performances at the Grammys that night too, along with him and Kirk Franklin.
Mm-hmm.
But you know me, I'm a man of faith myself, and so it was interesting to see that. Of this guy getting up there. But it was when Chance the Rapper actually says, you know, it's like, you all better stand up. It's like, I'm talking about my Lord.
What do we say? Kirk Franklin, we ended up finding out he had like 9 Grammys, and that was less than I'd anticipated.
Yeah, I mean, but he's been nominated and won, you know, several over the years. It's mm-hmm. just the question of whenever he actually releases the album.
Yeah.
The funnier thing for me, though, is the fact that they were singing How Great Is Our God, the Chris Tomlin song, which was like number one on the Christian charts for like a combined 170 weeks.
Wow.
And I'm not really exaggerating. The Christian music charts are one of the most horrible and depressing things I have ever seen in my life.
Doesn't sound like there's a lot of fluidity there.
There is not. There are 10 Christian bands, and they just keep taking turns taking the top spot, and then they release generally a copy of somebody else's song, and then that goes up to number one. And so, like, How Great Is Our God was covered by like 80 different people, and it was all on like the top 100 charts at the exact same time. So 80% of the charts were How Great Is Our God by Chris Tomlin, performed by so-and-so.
Can you imagine if this got recorded live and then released and then Chance the Rapper had the number one Christian single?
That'd be amazing, but I don't think it would happen.
If Striper couldn't do it, I don't think he's going to be able to do it.
Petra. Going back. So, yeah, but I think Chance the Rapper was very well deserved in those that he won. I think that 21 Pilots very well deserved in their Best Pop Duo, even though I think it's kind of a throwaway category. Yeah, but I mean, most of the ones I thought they actually nailed it pretty well, you know, as far as who actually won the awards. Jake, well, you got anything?
Yeah, Patton Oswalt, Best Comedy Album.
Best Comedy Album. Totally well-deserved.
It took me pretty much the rest of the evening to come to terms with it because, first off, the only special I hadn't seen was Margaret Cho's. And I still haven't seen it. Sorry, Margaret. Love you. I really do.
She's listening, too.
Yeah, I'm sure.
She
has much better things.
I'm a hashtagger in the show post, and she's going to find out about it.
And Gaga.
Oh, yes, and Lady Gaga. I got to get her to listen, too.
But, you know, comedy is so subjective, and just, like, giving an album to someone who's marketable or makes money or just makes people laugh is one thing. But I was trying to think of, like, which album here could actually stand the test of time or had something poignant to say. And, like, Amy Schumer, as funny as she was, she got so many irons in the fire that I don't feel this special was very strong.
Yeah.
Just based on her own past works. And David Cross's America Great, really good album, heavy on the politics, a little light on the comedy, but well done, well put together. I like David Cross. He's a crazy guy. But Patton Oswalt has about a 20-minute bit in the middle of this album that he's in San Francisco, and he starts to talk about people who can't handle words and bad words, even with good intentions. And that 25 minutes is amazing to watch him completely lose a crowd. It goes dead. You can hear a pin drop in that. And then he starts screaming, "Will you? I'm trying, please." And it's amazing to watch him turn the crowd around and actually make a point and get two or three people clapping. It was, it's a great special.
Well, and after what he's been through recently.
Well, yeah.
I mean, and in a way, that's kind of turned positive for him because of the publicity and maybe even some of the sympathy. But like you said, I mean, versus David Cross, who put out a solid album, but, you know, 20 years from now, it's like, oh, yeah, you remember that election 20 years ago?
Yeah.
Versus just talking and being funny.
And not that it's not on point. I mean, if you wanted to take a snapshot in time about how people felt about the election, then look at David Cross's album for sure. But did anyone else catch Patton Oswalt's acceptance speech?
No, actually, I did not.
It was really great. He kind of said, you know, this has been a terrible year. Like, everyone's really bad. My year has really sucked because my wife died and all the things. But he said, I'm just going to keep trying to make, you know, people laugh through the bitterness and then maybe move past the bitterness. And to see a guy who's made his mark in comedy by being the bitter, short, angry guy who kind of looks like a dyke, those are his own words, in his first special that,
those are your words.
No, those are his own words.
I'm joking.
You heard it here on Follow the Sound.
Melissa McCarthy doing Saturday Night Live.
Yeah, with Sean Spicer.
It's like Muslim ban. It's like, it's not my words. It's your words.
So, yeah, to see him seem like he's coming out of it and to take the acceptance in stride or take the award in stride and seem like he's trying to grow as a person was kind of motivating for me.
You should have done it in sweatpants. That would have been awesome.
You can tell that Patton is a very strong individual because he has been, like you said, recovering well. And I'm sure
he has
now,
to be at this point.
Well, yeah. But and with this win, though, now, I mean, it was well deserved. And it just goes to show that he will keep powering forward through his struggles. It was kind of funny to keep it local, too, because he got in that big fight with the realtor in Peoria. Did you hear about that, Brian?
No.
Oh, there was a realtor in Peoria that tweeted him some really nasty stuff having to do with his wife dying.
Oh, I do remember that, yeah.
And Patton basically just being like, ha ha, you got me, she died.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Class act.
Yeah,
from Peoria, of all places.
That guy was doing okay. It's like until he went in that direction. I saw the Twitter exchange between the two, and the guy was just arguing with him about politics and stuff like that. And then the guy went personal, and it was like, no, you don't do that. It's like, you just don't do that. And you especially don't do that to a comedian. Like, they're designed to attack back, and they will do it bigger and better than you ever will.
Yeah, you don't think he's ever been heckled before?
The only time I've ever seen a heckler actually do well is when it was another comedian who was just messing with the other comedian on stage, and it was just hilarious. So, but yeah, they're geared for that. It's like trying to get into a gunfight with, you know, a Navy SEAL. It's like, you just don't do it. But all right, so we got a couple more things we can do here.
You want to talk rock? maybe.
We can definitely talk some rock.
Sweet.
This year for music also marks a low point for rock and roll. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, but it was. So we had at the Grammys a complete lack of regard for rock or metal in this case, too. Because you have, one, Laverne Cox not even introducing Metallica. She did apologize later on, stating, I'm sorry, blah, blah, blah. You know, just I slipped up and I forgot to introduce Metallica. But it was just like, Metallica fans don't care. They're like, screw you. And you also had, I'm blanking on one of the other ones. There was another thing that they did that was just completely off the wall that they, like, didn't make any sense whatsoever as far as doing something with a rock artist. The fact that, like, David Bowie actually won for, like, best rock album, it's like it wasn't really a rock album. It was a mm-hmm. different kind of music, but it wasn't exactly rock. And then, of course, probably the worst one that they did, though, was Megadeth won for best metal performance, and the song that they played as they walked up to the stage was Master of Puppets.
Oh, no. Which is Metallica.
Which is Metallica.
For those who don't know.
Sounds of like which, the Grammys need a new DJ. Know, I'm open.
Of which, you know, Megadave, like, really didn't care for Metallica
all that much. Megadave.
Megadave. I've actually seen Megadeth in concert. It was a pretty decent show. But they were there opening for Iron Maiden, and Iron Maiden was freaking awesome. Sick. I loved Iron Maiden. That show was amazing.
So one of the rock ones that, in my opinion, let's look at best rock performance. So David Bowie, Black Star, took that one.
Yeah.
But one of the ones, 21 Pilots, Heathens was also nominated. But the one that I think maybe should have actually taken it, sorry, David Bowie, but we've already gotten past the fact that, you know, he won awards maybe just because he is David Bowie. But Disturbed, The Sound of Silence.
Yeah.
That song was so huge. So huge.
The only issue that I had with that is that you could clearly hear the auto tune for him singing, and that was it.
But everybody...
That was the only criticism I had for it. I thought dynamically it was good. I thought the way that they had it set up, the way they stylized it, really cool. But at the same time, I was like, as an audio producer myself, I listened to it and I was like, this is auto-tuned. Like, they literally have, like, the auto-tune functioning with him right now.
Well,
in a live performance.
They're not the only one.
They aren't the only ones that do that, but I could flat out hear it.
But let's be honest, though. Especially if you're looking at the rock category. Prime example, my mother, she's not a big rock person, but she just melted when she heard Sound of Silence by Disturbed. She became a Disturbed fan because of that song. And I think things like that, that it drew in such a broad audience. That's why I think maybe Disturbed deserved to win something, at least for Sound of Silence. Because
I have a lot of beef with that best rock performance category because Beyonce was nominated.
Yeah, with Jack White.
I mean, that's just one of the, like, just what we were saying. Like, can we enough? Like, can the rock performance category not have Beyonce in it, really? Jack White is fantastic.
I'm actually kind of surprised as far as, like,
come on.
You know, rock performance, because, you know, they did give it to David Bowie. But I mean, they had Alabama Shakes on there. I was like, Alabama Shakes is just a great
rock performance.
They're a great band, but yeah, they're more of a blues band than really a rock band. But at the same time, it's still, I could understand how you could put them into a rock category. But yeah, it's like, it's kind of weird.
Rock,
but Heathens by 21 Pilots, that would have probably been my choice. Just because I think that song's really cool, even though it was associated with the Suicide Squad soundtrack.
Yeah,
the best part about that movie was the soundtrack.
That's true.
What about
that? Is true. But yeah, I mean, they had, like, let's see, best metal performance, though. I mean, they had, like, Megadeth and Korn. It's like on here. It's like, okay, it's like maybe it's about time we got some newer artists. And Megadeth actually won that one, so that's like, yay.
I liked Korn's song, though. Korn, they had a good comeback this year. They really did. And we actually just saw Korn at the Hollywood Amphitheater.
Have we seen them twice?
Well, yeah, but we just saw them recently.
Yeah.
Hey, so best rock album. You want to talk about this for a quick second?
Let's do best rock album because it was kind of interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So the nominees were Weezer, self-titled album. which is really funny considering it's Weezer and they've taken all these years to do a self-titled album. Death of a Bachelor by Panic at the Disco. Magma by Gojira. California by Blink 182. And Tell Me I'm Pretty by Cage the Elephant.
Okay, so first off, well, actually, first off, all those bands are pretty great and all those albums were really good. Gojira, probably the one that I think people haven't heard of as much.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
But they have gotten really, 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 really great feedback. I mean, people who like them really love them. But with that being said, I don't know about you guys, but just looking at this list, it seems pretty obvious to me that, okay, maybe Panic at the Disco, because I know people go nuts about them too. But I think Blink-182's California was the biggest album from the nominations of the last year. Mm-hmm. And I probably would have given it to them if it was up to me, because I actually heard songs off of that album on the radio a lot. And yeah. Blink-182 was all over the place, and it was a triumphant comeback, and the album turned out to be better than people expected. So, in my opinion, I think Blink-182 might have gotten robbed just a little bit against Cage the Elephant taking it for Tell Me I'm Pretty. What do you guys think?
I think you might be biased.
I mean, I love Blink-182, but I'm giving credit where it's due, because I know that people go crazy for Panic at the Disco.
I wouldn't even put Panic at the Disco in rock. I feel like they're more of a pop, but that's, again, the subjectivity of the Grammys. But
yeah, they've always been more of in kind of like a power pop vein than...
I always kind of thought maybe like alt rock.
You don't hear Panic at the Disco on the same station you hear Megadeth, is what I'm getting at. You don't hear Megadeth and Panic at the Disco on the same station.
Yeah, you don't.
So you hear Panic at the Disco on the same station as Lady Gaga. You don't hear him on rock.
It's almost like there needs to be another category,
but
between rock and metal and all that. So,
but to kind of point, though, looking at Best Rock Album, though, you would hear Cage the Elephant, Blink-182, Panic at the Disco, and Weezer all on the same station.
Yeah.
You maybe wouldn't hear Gojira, but the other four, you could put them all on like an alt-rock station.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's true.
And I mean, maybe, do they have an alt-rock category? I know we were just discussing earlier about how they've added so many categories in the last 10 years to kind of help envelop all of the different genres of music. Like there's a best rap performance and a rap/sunk performance.
They had alternative.
So do they have, is there an alternative music category?
So yeah, best alternative music album. It was David Bowie's Black Star took it, but it was up against Bon Iver, PJ Harvey, Iggy Pop, and Radiohead. And those are all solid alt-rock.
That Radiohead album was great.
Yeah,
and I'm not even a huge Radiohead fan, but I mean, even like with the other one, Burn the Witch, that's just a good song.
Looking at these nominees, though, that's a tough category. Bon Iver, PJ Harvey, Iggy Pop, Radiohead, and Bowie. That conversation about who won that award had to have been, well, I mean, we can't agree, so let's posthumously give it to Dave Bowie, because all those artists put out such great music.
Bon
Iver just melts me into a puddle.
Yeah. I mean, it's just it's one of those categories that they're like, hey, let's just put all of the best that we can absolutely find.
Am I
forget albums?
Mispronouncing like all kinds of artists here.
I'm trying not to correct.
It's not. You're telling me it's not Bon Iver?
No, it's French. No, it's Bon Iver.
Yeah, Bon Iver.
Bon Iver.
Bon Iver.
Yeah.
See, that's one of those where I've seen it a million times, but I've never heard anybody say it.
Mm. You never heard me. Well, maybe you have heard me say it and just didn't realize that was the same guy, because I listen to Bon Iver a lot.
Bon Iver.
Bon Iver.
Bon Iver.
Bon Iver.
Obviously, I don't listen to Bon Iver.
Here you go, though. Oh, best score for a soundtrack. Star Wars, Force Awakens, John Williams.
Suicide Squad.
The
funny thing is, Quentin Tarantino was actually nominated with the Hateful Eight, but I guess it wasn't actually Tarantino. It was Ennio Morricone, and Ennio Morricone is one of my all-time favorite composers. That dude's amazing. I love him. There, that's my weird plug for the night.
Yeah.
Got that. Jake, you got anything that you want to talk about?
I guess I'm just the subjectivity of the categories anyway.
Like, yeah.
I'm still not convinced that Adele is pop. I think her music kind of like denies categorization. It's like, like pop to me requires a certain amount of campiness, and her music is like brooding emotion porn. It's not.
I remember this back when 21 was released and they'd had the Grammys. My brother actually posted something on Facebook that said, if Adele and Gautier were to team up and write a breakup song, I'm pretty sure the world would collapse in on itself.
Do you have any idea how many?
And I'm a huge Gautier fan. I'm a friggin' huge Gautier.
Another underrated.
I have been a huge fan of his before he ever broke into the American market. Way before, like 5 years before anybody else knew about him. Loved that guy. He's kind of stopped making Gautier music though. So
do you think
you got to check his other band though? If you haven't listened to him, The Basics, they're incredible.
I have not.
Yeah.
Talking about Adele should be a different
category. This is
category.
What I really want to get into now. I want to end this on like this point, because I got to say, I think that Adele earned every single award that she actually got that night. And I really, really got pissed off when I saw some of the Twitter comments going on there, especially the one, and I don't know who it was by, but I remembered it. And it was, Beyonce is proof that it doesn't matter how great you are, you will always lose to white mediocrity.
Here's the thing, though. Okay, so Adele won Song of the Year for Hello. And the big beef I had with that was that Formation was also nominated. And yes, Hello was a huge commercial success. I mean, she came back with a vengeance. But you cannot deny the impact, the cultural impact when Formation came out, when she had that Super Bowl performance with that nod to the Black Panthers, what that has done for culture. That song alone, Formation, is what is, I feel like it's a huge part of, you know, some of the movement that we've got going on right now. I think that's just a huge support for a lot of communities. And I think that it would be remiss for us not to at least nod to the fact that that didn't win Song of the Year against Adele. And I feel like, yes, Adele's great, but this was such a culturally significant thing.
And I will absolutely get into this. And that is because, frankly, the culture of it doesn't really matter, because Adele outsold her like 10-1.
Which is where that tweet came
from. And it's one of those things where not only in the U.S., but in every single major market, she outdid her. She outsold her in the U.S., the U.K., in Japan. In Japan, it's actually harder for an American artist to even make it onto their charts. Beyonce hit Formation at 47 at its highest. Adele's Hello was number 7 on their charts.
That's fair, but Formation wasn't written for me. So, yes. You know what I mean? Like, it's an amazing song, but it was not
even going to say that it's an amazing song, because to me, it sounded like completely overdone. It sounded like she was mimicking other mumble rappers that are out right now for some of the song. She wasn't using her vocal prowess to the best of her ability. It's like the melodies of it were kind of pointless, and she kept repeating herself over and over again. It's the exact same thing that I have a problem with Rihanna, with her song with Drake, Work.
Yeah, that's a whole Rihanna's on it. Yeah, no, I'm lower just, level. Than
yeah,
Beyonce.
No, it's that's true, and Beyonce is a far better singer, but at the same time, I think the reason why Beyonce isn't getting as much respect as she used to before is because she stopped actually singing.
I agree.
A lot of her songs, like, you even look at the performance that she did last night. The first 2 minutes of it were her talking.
Mm-hmm. And Lemonade wasn't an album that she wrote as a singer.
No. I'm going to tell you this. No. You need to scale back that sentence. Lemonade isn't an album she wrote.
Lemonade wasn't an album that showcased her vocal prowess.
Every single song was written for her. Every single song was produced for her. Every single thing was done for her. Everybody bows down and worships at the altar of Bey, and I'm sick and tired of it because she is overrated at this point.
Which I can agree with you on some points. I just feel like that Hello should not have beaten Formation in Song of the Year, because when you think Song of the Year, how culturally impactful that was on a group of people that needed that at that time.
I can give that to the song, but at the same time, if you give any layperson the choice between those two songs, they're picking Hello.
Probably so.
That's actually what I was going
to
say.
You know why? Because it relates to more people in one aspect. But at the same time, I mean, come on. She had an SNL skit about the song.
It's subjectivity.
That's high praise right there. Like, you don't get to have an SNL like parody of your song without being some huge hit.
And I say this in jest, but to counterpoint your cultural impact, when Hello dropped that week, I have yet to be in a room with any number of people where someone in the room had that week did not drunk dial or text an ex and say, "You maybe we can make this work." I mean that hit everybody.
Yeah. So I mean I can say that at this point with Beyonce, I feel that she is overrated and she needs to do something different. And I don't know what that different thing is, but whatever the artistic direction that she is going into, she has a bunch of people, about 1.6 million of them apparently, who are convinced that everything she does is gold.
Beyonce.
And it's not the case. It really isn't. I watched a bunch of the songs, a bunch of the videos that she released for the Lemonade album, and every single one I was watching this, like, she could have done so much better. And she didn't. And then you talk to some of the other Beyonce fans and they're just like, this was the greatest album of all time. But for me, though, the last thing of the night for album of the year is what actually cracked me up the absolute most. And that was Adele winning, getting up there, bawling her eyes out and stating that, you know, I can't believe that Beyonce didn't win this. She totally deserved this and blah, blah, blah. And Beyonce's crying and all of that. And I thought for sure that we were finally going to have somebody who's going to do what Kanye's been asking artists to do for years. And that is to actually give up their awards to Beyonce.
She broke it in half and tossed a piece to Gretchen Wieners. And then she tossed a piece to Beyonce. And then, you know...
Which then was another tweet that I thought was rather hilarious, is that somebody said, you know, so what? You gave half of Beyonce's award to her. It's like, give her the other half, too. And I was like, okay, all right, you know, back off of this crap. It's just, for me, that's sort of what threw me into a whole tizzy about the entire song was, or about the entire event, was that everybody just started going off on this crap. And it's just like, this isn't a race issue. It's like, this is a group of people who voted this song being better than this song. Whoop-de-frickin'-do. If you like this song more, then that's the song that you like. If you hate this other song, that's the song that you hate. It's not like an Academy of Recording Artists can tell you what song is actually better than another song. It's all pointless anyway, so what's the big deal?
Yeah, at the end of the day, the best part about music is you can go home and give out your own personal Grammy Awards and say, you know what? I like this song. I'm going to listen to it. The end.
I will tell you this, though. Beck's album was better than Beyonce's album last year, and that is a certain fact.
Beck has real, just oozing talent.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you could give the guy, give the guy a kazoo.
But Kanye said that he needed to give up his award to a true artist like Beyonce.
No, Kanye
said that.
He said that for every person that's won an award against Beyonce for the last how many years.
Now, Bree, I'm going to let you finish.
Taylor Swift.
But, Beyonce had the greatest video of all time. All the single ladies.
All the single ladies.
So yeah, for me though, the entire thing was just like, there have been much better Grammys in my opinion, and I think that next year we'll see what happens. Next year though, I was telling before, I want to like live stream it. I want to like actually do a show while the Grammys are going on, and then we can really have some fun with that. I think that would be fantastic. Jake, you in?
As long as I can sneak booze into the event, yes.
Absolutely.
Okay.
As long as he doesn't drink for best children's album.
Drinking is pretty standard at my office, so we've got tons of whiskey if you want.
Hey, look, here comes the ABCs by They Might Be Giants. Put that category on the map.
So I think I feel kind of bad, but I think we are all in agreement here that the Grammys were subpar.
Subpar, easily.
Subpar is an excellent word to describe the Grammys. Absolutely.
I couldn't do it. Like I couldn't give them much credit for having a great show because it really wasn't a great show. I thought they had some good moments, but it also had a bunch of bad moments, and that's just the way it is.
Now, to give them credit, though, I will say that a live show like that, it is pretty daunting to have a great Grammys show.
But how many live award shows have there been in the last few years that have given us just iconic performances? And it's just not something that we saw this year, I don't think.
Well, like, I think it's the Golden Globes. Like, they've really knocked it out of the park the last few years. You know?
You know, now that you say that, I agree. Yeah. I think that's been a bigger award show than half of the other stuff that's been
going
on.
Well, let's give them credit on this one. They did have A Tribe Called Quest on.
Yes, they did.
Tribe Called Quest has killed it this year, though.
Yes,
they would be remiss to
Busta
not have
Rhymes.
Tribe Called Quest around.
Oh, God, with Busta.
Oh, Busta Rhymes.
So amazing. But I mean,
I thought it was funnier the fact that, like, immediately afterwards, my Twitter and Facebook feeds exploded with hashtag President Agent Orange.
Who was it that called in that? I don't even recall now.
It was Busta.
Was it Busta?
Yeah. In the very beginning, and they're like, "We the people." He's like, "President Agent Orange."
I like that song.
I was like, "All right, okay, I get it. That's fine." So, yeah. So I think that's pretty much it. We all kind of voted. Grammys were subpar this year, but we're hopeful that next year, you know, it might be better. So I got to say, though, if you have enjoyed listening to the program, you can always help support us by going to followthesoundpodcast.com/Amazon. That'll take you to Amazon, and from there you can shop and buy anything, and it doesn't cost you anything extra, but we get a little bit back for the referral. So go to followthesoundpodcast.com/Amazon, or you can go to followthesoundpodcast.com, and on the right-hand side you'll see an Amazon banner. Just click there. It does the exact same thing. But please do so. It does help the show out, and then we can keep going and doing more and more stuff. So I want to be back around next year so we can actually do the live stream of the Grammys and just have a blast. But I got to say, I've had a blast doing this show tonight. I think that we had a good time in here in this tiny cramped room with the four of us as it's getting warmer and warmer by the minute. But I'm Brian Kroc.
I'm Greg Harvey.
Bree Park.
I have been Jacob Crum.
This has been Follow the Sound. And remember, if you hear it, follow that sound.
This podcast was a presentation of lineupmedia.fm.